Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, I guess I want to ask you about suicide prevention. I know you and your wonderful wife are very involved in this. What got you going on this?
Well, of course, as a commander in the military, this was something that a very important issue for us, trying to make a positive difference. So my wife and I, she's always been incredibly supportive as a commander's spouse. And as we made the transition from active duty to veteran, to retiree, it became clear that we were missing some parts of this effort, particularly for our veterans back home. These statistics alarm everyone. So my wife has stepped up. She's involved.
She's a social worker.
She is a social worker, indeed. And she's involved in a congressional effort. She's on a bipartisan panel of spouses that are looking to make a difference, partnered with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And so, like last night, we had a very good event that took place over at the Hudson Valley Community College. This was the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, in this case, partnered with Hudson Valley Community College. That community college is really making a difference with veterans in every respect, in transition, the GI Bill, dealing with stress, reintegration to society, and the effort to combat PTSD. And so a very effective event yesterday brought in a very charismatic speaker whose family was personally affected. This is a retired Major General, Major General Graham, who's it seems almost biblical in terms of what happened to their family. This was your typical all-American family, three kids. And when one of their boys committed suicide in college in 2003, it devastated the family. And then only 9 months later, their other son was killed in combat. So this was a blow that it just would be hard for anyone to imagine to come back from. And it really shook the foundations of this family. But they are resilient, and they were with us yesterday, and they were inspiring us about understanding the mental illness that is associated with the suicide ideations and attempts, and really what to look for and how to make a difference. It was very educational, and I think that they're making a big difference in our
what
society.
What does one look for, Chris?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, most people would know that we're looking for signs of depression, people that are having loneliness, detachment, isolation. But some of the most effective, I think, yesterday, effective communications were that you might have an individual who is actually being treated, maybe under psychiatry and perhaps even medication, and the individual may yet still be depressed and having ideations. And what I learned yesterday is it's really sometimes you don't get the dosage right, or you may not even get the right drug the first time. And so it has to be a persistence that there's going to be an engagement. It's an engagement from the standpoint of mental health and in full respect, and then also family and friends, and to not tire, to continue to engage, because there are sad cases. And in fact, the tragedy of this case for this family, the Grahams, is that, and again, the time frame, this is 2003. This young man was endeavoring to get in the military. He wanted to be a military doctor, and he was concerned that the military would find stigma in him receiving mental health treatment, and so he stopped taking his medicine, and then he killed himself. And so, the Grahams are really just all over our country trying to communicate and to influence folks to realize how serious this is, and that we need to really give our strongest support for those that are having challenges, mental health challenges, and to stop the stigma from those who need mental health treatment.
So is I'm sorry for my naivete in this, but I know that the military suicides are getting to be a real issue in this country, at least recognized as such. So is the military service in some way tied to suicide?
Well, the figures last year I believe it was 349. Very alarming. Those are completed suicides. I would tell you that the chain of command is fully engaged on this topic. There is training that goes on all throughout the ranks on awareness and on the support, the resources that are available. And those figures are concerning. But what's especially concerning are the veterans' figures that are actually worse than active duty. So that's why this event last night that was done in conjunction with Hudson Valley Community College, I think, are really, we need more of these types of events so that, and this was maybe 75, 80 folks who were there. It was largely social workers, but also other activists, community activists and some families that have been personally affected. But what was, I think, important about last night was that those that are in the field making a difference, dealing with this very difficult subject on a daily or at least a weekly basis, they're there hearing from our experts who are giving the latest research. Because in addition to the remarks by both the Grahams, General Graham and Mrs. Graham, we also had a PhD there that she was sharing some of the data as it relates to those who are willing to come forward and to get treatment. In other words, these were surveys that were done by servicemen and women of those who thought they needed help and how many would be willing to come forward. The delta there is very disturbing.
You're the congressman in the majority party. What do the people want you to do to help in all of this?
Well, I think number one is the mental health treatment for the military to be involved in trying to provide public support for those who need treatment. Because, again, one of the issues that, and the Grahams talked about this last night, going back a decade ago, there just was too much stigma related to individuals who come forward. So what my wife and I are both doing is trying to express in the widest form, like today, for example, on this radio show, is how important it is for all of us to be supportive of those who need mental health treatment. And beyond that is looking at the way that our programs are structured. This actually came up in the wake of the SAFE Act. You know, I have all my 11 counties now have either passed a resolution opposing the SAFE Act, or there's a couple that are yet to vote.
SAFE Act, just as everybody remembers, is the governor's gun program.
Yeah, and it's in my congressional district, there's just a very strong opposition to it. But, you know, I'm going to give the example of Schoharie County. This county has a democratically controlled board of supervisors, and the chairman there, it was important to him that I express where I am on that act, and I do oppose that that law. And then he shared with me, he said, you know, the thing on mental health in Schoharie County is that it's his perception that those who need the help are pretty strongly correlated with Medicaid eligibility, and that the program, the way it's designed, is you have to go to the county mental health. The line is so long that it discourages folks. And there are some that would prefer not to go to the county mental health and go to private. So this is that was helpful insights that I took back to my staff. And we're looking at the law in terms of how Medicaid is structured and can we reform that so that we can provide more support for those that are seeking mental health treatment.
Well, Chris Gibson, we always love having you here. Chris Gibson is of New York's 19th district and a Republican in the majority. And Chris, when we come back the next time, I think I'd just like to do a little bit more on this, okay?
Thank you, Alan.